So welcome, everybody. This is February 18th, 2021. This is our second call in the Abundance Series, just talking about all the freezing temperatures. I just walked in partway through the conversation that are across the U.S. I've been hearing so much from Amy on our team. She's in Texas. Mary Kay, hello. I don't know if you're going to make it with all the freezing temperatures. Thank you for your text. So especially when things are going on, we have a world with lots going on right now. We have a world with so much going on. It is even more important, and this is related to the material for today, to pause, to take time, to take a breath. And so that's what we're doing as we begin our class, as we do, either in meditation, or if you're able, in Shavasana, lying down, whichever way you can do to take that pause for your day right here, right now. So be in a comfortable position for this part, camera on, camera off, doesn't matter to me. If you have your camera on, make sure you're still and quiet so that it doesn't disrupt anybody visually. If you have a camera on, off, that's fine too. Take the time to be aligned. That alone is life-changing. If you're lying down, arms and legs equidistant from the center line. If you're seated, imagine a string pulling the crown of the head to the sky. Aligned. Our world so could use alignment right now. Our minds aligned to create an aligned world. The practice of Shavasana, of going inward, allows us to align. This pause allows us to align, to be present, to stop and see what is. Once you are aligned, make sure also that you are comfortable. So are you finding any sticky places as you're lying there or seated? Are you noticing that maybe one of your shoulders is a little tight or it's rolled forward compared to the other one? Work toward both alignment and ease. Can you find ease in the body? One meditation I've been listening to lately, such powerful words. She said, can you make yourself 5 or 10% more comfortable? Sometimes we strive for perfection. I've got to be absolutely comfortable and already we're tight. What if you could be 5 or 10% more comfortable? Can you make those adjustments now? If you haven't already, softly close your eyes. And just be present. Present to yourself, your body, the ease in this moment. Quietness, this silent space. Just be. Relax cheeks. Relax the jaw. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. Feel the breath. Have you paused in your day yet to notice the breath? Notice it now. Breath, prana, life force energy flows through us each day. We don't even notice. Be curious with the curiosity of a child. Well, where is the breath now? Is it high in the chest? Is it low in the belly? Am I breathing more into one lung than the other? Is my breath shallow? Is it deep? Am I belly breathing? Where is the breath? Just pause and notice. And can you notice this breath without judgment? So quickly judgment moves in. I shouldn't be breathing shallowly. I should be breathing better, whatever that is. Can you observe the breath, be aware of it, without needing to change it at all. Just seeing what is. And notice the power of this pause. When we pause and see what is, often the breath changes of its own accord. Not because we're trying to change it. This is a world of difference. Not because we're trying to make it better, different, somehow other than what is. We simply observe the breath, see what is, and the power of our observation sometimes changes the breath itself. No trying, just observing. Has it changed at all? Notice what is. Can you allow yourself to receive the blessings of this quiet moment? Maybe your day has already been quite full. Your mind preoccupied by things, movement around you. What's the blessing of this moment, this quiet time? Can you let it touch you? Not in some artificial way, but just noticing. I've paused. It is good. And then allow the breath to deepen. Place your hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees. If you're lying down, roll to the right side. Softly open the eyes. Slowly push yourself up to sitting and rejoin our virtual circle. As always, camera on whenever possible. It allows us to be present. It allows us to practice every time we come together and through the year that adds up to a lot, to come together and be present, not distracted. If we only just did that each time we came together, world of difference for our lives and our companies. So rejoining our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. Welcome back. Love to hear from one or two of you. Always increasing our ability to focus on what we love. What did you love here? What did you love here? And there becomes more and more of things that we love on that side. The others tend to fade away when that's where we focus. And then we end up in a world where there's these 10 things that I love. Which one should I choose first? Because we've practiced for our mind to be that way. So what did you love in this practice? Who would like to begin? Yeah, Yvonne, I could tell you just had that pick me. Yvonne, go ahead.
Well, it was kind of funny because, you know, I've had a pretty full life over the last several days and I was laying there and it felt so good. And then I was like, oh my God, I hope I don't fall asleep. Up like 3 hours later.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I don't think I've mentioned that here in at least a year, maybe longer. Mr. Iyengar, he died a few years ago. He's the founder of the tradition of yoga that I teach in. And he was a very fierce teacher. I mean, get it, because it matters. Like one meditation teacher said, you know, if we really understood, we would meditate like our hair is on fire when we understand how important this is. He was fierce. And he would also say when people would fall asleep in yoga class in Shavasana, it's like, let them sleep. They needed the sleep. Mm-hmm. This is like, Shavasana will teach us that too. If you're always falling asleep when you go into Shavasana, it tells us something about our lives, and then we have an opportunity to make a different choice. So, and in this case, it's not that you're living your life always in that way, having just come off of, I know, an intensive event, Yvonne. There's an ebb and flow, mm-hmm. activity and rest in our life. We'll be talking about that today. So good notice. Thank you. Who would like to share next? What did you love in this practice today? I didn't fall asleep. It's a win, right? Or I know now that I know it's okay if I fall asleep and it tells me something that I need to do. Most important thing I could do for my company sometimes, right? Who would like to share next? What did you love this time? Goodness, we have two people in cars today. We sometimes get people in cars, but I don't think we usually have two in cars. This is a record, Carly mm-hmm. and Jamie. So I don't know if you're actually driving or if you're stationary. Stay safe, all right? Pull over if you're, yeah, stay safe. So who would like to share? What did you love in this practice today? Marie, thank you.
The opportunity to lie down and get still. I resisted. I was just like, I'll just turn off my video and do some things. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Thank you for being honest, right? Thank you for that. And it's a practice. It really is a practice. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that we can get away with. And thank you for that confession, Marie, because we all have those things, right? No one will know if, and so you coulda. But then, you know, who doesn't gain in the end, right? Isn't that funny? The things we think we're getting away with, right? Thank you for that honesty. And I find that often it's exactly when I've been doing and doing and doing that it's paradoxically enough, the hardest to stop. That's when I have to, and again, it's related to our material for today. That's when I have to very intentionally put that pause in, because last time we were talking about practices, it's become a practice to do and do and do and do and do. So I just need to put the stake in the ground and go, wait, stop. And we have that opportunity each week here, or almost every single week. So important. Thank you, Marie. I love that. I love the true confessions. I didn't want to fall asleep. I almost just kept working. Like, this is where the game is really played. This is how it actually happens, not some theoretical idea of it, but how we're actually practicing. And then when we're real about it, we can actually make progress. I love that. Thank you. Let's hear one more. What did you love in this practice today? Mary Kay, thank you.
I just got to think about it. I didn't get to do it, but I got to think about doing it. And that was something.
I love it. You know, what we focus on expands, and no, there's non-attachment there. It's like, wow, I have to have it, otherwise it all falls apart. This is what is. And, you know, I don't do Shavasana while I'm guiding you through Shavasana, but there is a Shavasana-like energy that passes through me just in even speaking about it. And in the thinking about it, in the remembering of it, that itself can be a moment of pause, a moment of refuge, a moment of remembering. I want the rhythm of my life to be that way. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Anything else wanting to be shared before we move on? Okay, awesome. A couple of announcements. And Amy always prepares the announcements for me. She knows, you know, we talk about it. We know what we need to share with you guys, but she actually writes them up for me. And Amy is in the midst of Texas, and we all know what's going on in some places there. And so she sent these out to me a little later than usual. So I'm seeing them as you see them. So Yvonne, I think you've got them too. We'll see how this goes. So announcements. Okay, that makes sense. Love Your Words Community Housekeeping. Our final call in this series is next week. So abundance. Last time we were talking about practice. What are our practices? Abundance isn't a theoretical idea. It's a practice on the court. What are we actually doing? What are we tolerating? You know, what are we tolerating that is of non-abundance? There was so much that was shared that was beautiful last week. But one of the things Wendy said is like, what am I tolerating in not making offers? Right. So what are my practices around? Because we're playing the game right now. We've got a great opportunity to change some practices, right, for the better, in our companies and in our lives. For me, I talked about, you know, sometimes just the awareness are there, allows us to shift things. I confess to you guys, my yoga practice hadn't been what I wanted it to be. Just mentioning it to you guys, and this week I had my best practice in weeks and weeks. Sometimes when we just look at that, it's like, oh, I just want that to change. Not trying to change everything at once. You know, what am I going to keep? What am I going to release? What do I want to stay the same? So some of the places we were at last time. Today, we're going to talk about, in other places, we talk about inspired action. What's going to allow for that inspired action? The game has a lot of action in it. And we're going to talk about today, what allows for that inspired action? What's the deepest grounding, deepest groundwork that I know of that actually creates abundance in our lives? So that's where we're going to get to today. And next week, well, we'll talk about that next week. Actually, let me tell you, we're going to talk about how we envision in ways that actually work. Remember, you've heard me say sometimes I've helped people take their vision board down, you know, that envisioning wasn't working. How can we actually envision that future and actually have it unfold for us in the way that we want in the and so that we can receive the abundance that is our birthright, right? So we're going to talk about that next time. All right. Our Stories That Sell series, our Stories That Sell Now series starts Tuesday, March 2nd at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So if you don't have it on our calendars yet, because we added this call on more recently, there's a jumpstart call Tuesday, March 2nd at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So translate to your own time zone. Please make sure you get this on the calendar. And if you've been to Stories That Sell Now already, don't think that you've done this course before. Right? Because we're at a whole new level. I understand this material at a whole new level. I am so excited about this series coming up. And I know it's going to be, I'm expecting it to be our best series that we have ever done on anything, anywhere, ever. So super excited. And it starts on the 2nd. Our weekly calls continue then Thursday, March 11th, Thursday, April 1st, Thursday, March 11th, 18th, 25th, Thursday, April 1st, 8th, and 15th. That's the Stories That Sell Now series. It should be in your new updated calendar that you can reference. So reminder that we have an updated calendar. Yvonne, if you could put that link in the chat, that would be great. It's been added to Story Freedom Academy as well. By now, you should have those on your calendar already. So remember to put those big rocks in first. We have some great questions posted for today's call. We're going to leap into those. And but before we do so, I just want to remind you about the game. Hopefully you're all registered for the game. I heard, I don't know the details of what's going on there. Well, I know you guys are meeting at 8 a.m. Thursday mornings, unprecedented in this community. Fantastic. It means you're on the court. It means you're moving things forward. And it was in a private session with Wendy this morning, because I know Wendy was there for at least a part of it this morning. I said, like, I don't even know what's going on over there. But I don't even care if you guys, I know it's not happening, but I don't even care if you guys are yelling at each other, or you know what I mean? or you're going like, this will never work, or I don't know how to do this, or hey, what's my best next step, or hey, let me give you this resource. You are on the court. That's what matters. So you like, that is fantastic. You're making progress by the simple fact of doing it. And then everything that you have done in that call and in other places as you're working together on this moves your company forward. Remember that you have the Facebook page as your, our Facebook group as a resource. Remember that if you tag me and text me, you can get questions answered. I'll be in there as soon as I can be. If it's right after the call today, you don't have to wait for a week to get a response from me or from the community. If we're not meeting that week in a call, tag me and text me. And notice if you're reluctant to do that, just notice, are you also reluctant to reach out in that strategy session with that ideal client? What's holding you back there, right? You can ask as many questions as you want. Lean in with this community, lean in with me. We're in the midst of the game. Go ahead and use the resources that are at hand. Reminder about the rules of the game. Make a sale of $2,000 and up, or help someone in the community make that sale. We all win or lose together as a team. If you win, that $10 turns into $25. So you learn right in yourselves, wow, I get to 2.5 times my investment when I focus on these things. I mean, these are the things that move the company, the needle for the company as well. If not, don't worry. I donate the money to the charity of my choice. The money goes to a good cause. There's no way we win either way. We always win, all right? We've never not won as a team. We'll see what happens this time. Every time it's new. We've always actually won the game. So we'll see what happens this time around. You guys are on the court, super proud of you. Our masterclass, Story Mistakes. We had two calls this week. And I will talk about that in just a second, because I know some of you were on that call. And a couple other things coming up. Influence through story. Fast track your business with 3 must-have stories, our Facebook challenge. This is April 19th to April 23rd, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 90 minutes a day. This is open to the public. You can bring your friends to this one. It's also a deep dive training, also designed for you in this community. We have never done this series before. This is actually going to build on what we did on in Influence a Story and take it even deeper and further. And you guys have that behind you. So I'm anticipating some amazing next level questions from you guys at that series. Email amy@michellegunderson.com to be on the priority list. Story Freedom is May 19th to the 21st, so lots to support you. We have a new Facebook community, Stories That Sell for Entrepreneurs. I've been wanting to create a Facebook community like this for ages. We created it, and we already have so many people who've joined. They're coming out of the woodwork. It's wonderful, coming from everywhere to join this community. And so Yvonne, if you can put that link in the chat as well. So our in-house Love Your Words questions go into our Love Your Words Facebook group. This is in-house. You've got a question about the Abundance Series. You want to talk to the people in this community. That's your place to post that. You want to ask me a tag and text question. That only belongs in Love Your Words. We can't access that on the public one. But in the public one, Stories That Sell for Entrepreneurs, you can invite your friends there. And there's ongoing conversation that will serve and support you there. So we've created a whole series, Fun Fridays and Thursday Appreciation. And so you can make use of these two Facebook groups. They will be as useful to you as you decide to engage in them, all right? And already, like I say, we've got so many people in just a very short while who've already joined that new Facebook community, Stories That Sell for Entrepreneurs. All right, I think that's it for announcements. Any questions about lots going on in our community to serve and support you? Questions, that was clear? All right. The masterclass, there's a couple places I want to start. So story mistakes. So how many of you made it to at least one of those two story mistakes calls? Hands up. Yay, quite a few of you. How many of you didn't make it? Hands up, be proud. I know Yvonne, you're busy like 24/7 in the last few days. How many of you didn't know that it was going up on Hands Up, Be Proud? All right, you all knew it was, oh, Carly, okay, thank you for that. Hands up, be proud. So that recording should still be available. That's available to our list in general. So you should be on that email list. You should have access to it. It was, we're going to send out the recording of the Wednesday call. And there was some really great training on that call that will serve and support you. And so I suggest that you gain access to that recording. And I would love to hear from someone who is on either the Monday call or the Wednesday call. And Dottie, thank you for your lovely text on Monday. It was just, Dottie sent me a note, hope you don't mind if I tell on you, Dottie. She's like, that call was amazing. And thank you so much. I can't remember your words, but it was like over the top. Thank you so much for that, Dottie. As I was going to bed that night, made my day. So I would love to hear from one or two of you, even just one takeaway. Do you remember something that came from story mistakes for you? What do you remember from that call so that others who maybe weren't able to be there can share with even that one aha? And I know it might seem like 100 years ago. I was like, what was that now? I know it was really good at the time. I don't know. One thing that you'd like to share if you were there. And if it's like, well, I can't remember, I'll point you back to it and I'll suggest that you head back over to that call. Lots of cool stuff in that call. Yeah, Mary Kay, thank you.
Well, I don't know if this would be specific enough, but I was watching how you interweaved the story and kept it going towards the end. And you just talk about, you'd be talking, and then you'd add in stuff about, that would start you thinking about, oh, I could work with her more, you know, work towards the, you know, working towards the end, what you want at the end. And absolutely. I wrote a bunch of different phrases that that I thought, oh, I can use that. I just put horse in the sentence.
Yes. So again, that's why, you know, go ahead and model it. Absolutely. like my mentor says, you know, adapt, you know, don't adopt just like, oh, I'm just going to take this because it doesn't work for any of us if it's not our work, right? But we can adapt it. It's like, oh, right, that's what I could do in my community. It's meant to spur your imagination in that way. And everything that you learn in practical applications and everything about, that's a different talk than the one that I talk about in practical applications, but it's got that very same structure. And I have done all those things that we talk about in when we talk about talks in practical applications, right? Begin with the end in mind. What's the problem, solution? All that is worked out beforehand, written out on the page. I've got that in my mind as I'm teaching. And there's multi-layers of stories that are going on as I'm teaching. There's the whole arc of the talk. There's any particular small story that's going on. Like, so yes, thank you for that, Mary Kay. I'm always that student as well. When I'm a student, I'm both learning the material and I'm watching how it's being presented.
Right? There was one more thing too, which has been actually I've emphasized in other trainings too, but you said something about, oh, you're going to want to tack it up by your desk or by your computer, those 7 tips or whatever. And I thought, yep, that's what I need to tell mine. You can tack it up in your barn. Look at it before you ride.
Thank you. That one tip from that whole call is life-changing for your company. And that was said, you know, just once or twice in about 30 seconds in the call. Thank you for that, Mary Kay. It's huge. It's huge. And thank you, Dottie. I'll hear just a second. The other thing is I said, hey, for those who stay to the end of the call, you can model all the things that you're hearing there. There's, you know, I could do a whole year on speaking if I want to. It's not the company I want to create, but there's more than I can say that I'm doing. You can ask questions about it and you can also observe it. Like, hey, for those who stay to the end of the call, I'm giving you this bonus because some people are busy. Some people only plan to stay for 45 minutes. They're going to miss the offer. I want them to stay to the end so they can hear the offer. And I give them something really juicy that if they only came to the call for that, they would get that thing. And we also, every time we do it, we learn something new. This time around, where they found that, I was thinking, hopefully I mentioned it on Wednesday, where they found that 7 quick tips, we put the link to it on our offer page, on our summary page. We don't call it an offer page or a sales page when we're talking to people, it freaks people out. We say, oh, here's the summary page, right? We put it right there. So that means if they stay to the end and they wanted that 7 quick tips, they have to click on the offer page. And every single yes, there's a yes to the clicking, they might see something that grabs their attention. It might be somebody that we could serve that we may not have been able to serve if they didn't allow themselves to click. So everything designed in service and support to them. Hey, here's something if you stay to the end. And when they do stay to the end and they get those 7 quick tips, they can keep it beside them. I suggest that you guys all do that. This is very real and important content that it took a long time to condense to that size. But every single one of those pieces, if they just have one paragraph on each of those tips, it's also going to produce for people outside this community more pain as well. Not because I'm holding something back, but because I'm going to say, well, you're going to want to do this. And a person who's in the ideal client zone will say, but how do I do that? Here's one question. Here's another one that I want to do. Here's another one. And it helps lead them to the next step. So everything is reverse engineered. Everything is designed with the end in mind. Everything designed in service for people, but all of that you'll see in action with story mistakes. And story mistakes it's designed to lead directly to stories that sell now. So, hey, here's the story mistakes. This is happening all the time. It's and lots of people in the chat going, thank you. This is making a difference. So real service on the call. Like Dottie, again, that text that night, that made the world of difference. Thank you. It was so nice to receive your text. So serving and serving and serving. But it's like, well, if they know here's all the story mistakes, well, how I know what they are, but I don't know how to avoid them. Well, come to Stories That Sell Now and I'll help you, or do it on your own if you want, but here's what you're going to have to do. So all of that you guys can model. So Mary Kay, thank you for underlining just even a couple of pieces from that call, every piece in there, because you'll have ears to hear it differently is gold for you. Thank you. Dottie.
Well, I did. I went because Monday was so good. I went to Wednesday too. It was really excellent. So a couple of things that I remember, and I do have to look at my notes, but that's okay. I love the part about your dad, starting the story at when I was 5, I had 2 brothers or whatever the details were, not the purpose of the talk. and how much better it was when he said, we've heard it before. I have heard it before too, yes. But it just, repetition is the key. And when he said, my wife and I were sitting in a car and there we saw over the hill and she said, that's our farm burning down. I mean, that was just so good.
And so, yeah, and so let me, I just want to stop you there for a second. So in case anybody doesn't know, like just the context of that, that one story was dropped in there because it emphasizes, well, we need to know so much about story, even just this one piece about where we begin makes a difference. And I tell a few second story that has everybody fall asleep and they know they're falling asleep. They experience it right in their bodies. They don't care when I tell the story that way. Then in a moment they hear this other story and they know they're awake and alive. And that is gonna help them want that skill. It's like, wow, I have all the right elements and I have the right story, but if I don't tell it in the right order, I'm going to lose my audience. So every little piece is designed, that even that micro story is designed to head over to Stories That Sell Now and also give real value at the same time. We can give our best stuff. That's one of some of my best stuff. We can give it away when it's designed in the way that, that we teach in practical applications and that we're going to do a deeper dive into in Build a Talk That Sells coming up as that's part of Stories That Sell Now.
Can I tell one more?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
I have lots of nuggets, but one of the things that was so important for me, even as much as I loved your dad's story, it reminded me of be sure to lead, to think first, what is the purpose of this story? And this is combining two thoughts. A lady gave a very interesting story and Michelle said after, I bet you didn't get some, you know, enough clients or whatever. It was interesting, but it didn't take them down the path to sign up for the course. She had right. No one sign up for the course, even right. though they gave her standing ovation and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't written or told in a way to tell them what she had hoped they would do.
Right. Thank you, Dottie. And so what is your ideal client's pain?
Exactly.
What's their actual problem? And the more, this is what the game is designed to help you with this too, because be on the court in those strategy sessions, listening to them tell you about what their pain is. And in the area of speaking, that's designed to help those people who go, well, you know, I've already got my story. And it's really good. People even have a standing ovation. I got problems in another part of my company. It's actually not true. And it's such a profound and real example that actually happened. It happens over and over again, but it's one particular incident where it's like my heart was aching for her. It really happened, right? So it looks like a perfectly designed story. So, hey, I don't need this because I already got the perfectly designed story. Oh, but I got a problem over here and it's really a story problem. So again, it's reverse engineered with the end in mind. That story fits in with that larger purpose. So I'm actually enacting in that talk some of the things I'm teaching about, that the story has to have a purpose, which has to align with the talk's purpose, which has to align with the purpose of our company as well. So I'm not telling them that they need stories and my company is about selling horses or sleigh rides or lights or any whatever else. It's this is the topic, right? So thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. Was there one more or is that
complete? Yeah, I have a lot more.
let's hear one more.
One more would be that I have so many. One more would be the present to say in the middle or wherever Michelle says that there'll be a free, for those who stay, there will be a free gift and have it be really interesting to that group.
Yes. Thank you for underlining that. And so it's related to receiving those yeses, because maybe somebody, they might even like the material quite a bit, but something else is calling them. And I want this call to supersede that. So I'm giving away my best stuff. This is really hot material. These four pages alone could be life-changing for a company, but it's not just randomly given. It's not like endless coffee dates. It's designed in a structure to take people forward so that the right people can step forward. And then the other piece of it, it's also designed to be able to, like one of my, Lisa Sasevich, one of my teachers, she said, you know, don't change your, her dad taught her, don't change your act, change your audience. This isn't a once and done. You're going to see the sequence again. So we have the time to build it, and we build it the best we can this time around. Like, we will always serve first, but the sales structure gets built over time and gets better and better because we come back. We don't try to do something different next time. We're going to do that again because there's more people we can serve with that. So lots of things to, I wish somebody had taught me that when I first left the university in 2007. Nobody taught me that, right? These pieces alone could be company changing. Thank you for Mary Kay. Thank you, Dottie, for hearing so much in that. And I didn't know I was going to share this with you, but I just love and adore you guys. I shared this with Wendy this morning in context of something else that we were talking about in our private session. So I'm going to share this with you, but this doesn't leave this room, all right? Because it needs context, right? So this is just, this is very personal to me. You okay if I like TMI? Because this is to help you with the game, all right? Because I want you to know that it's okay. I want you to know that stuff happens. I want you to know that it's on the court and we just keep working at it. We just keep working at it. And we find that empowering story, and the empowering story gets us into action. Into inspired action. It does other things as well, but one of the things that we want is an empowering story that gets us into action on the court. If we're not making offers, we don't have a company, right? So if we're not making offers, we don't have a company. What's the story that will have us continuing to do that and not kind of, oh man, and beaten down and this is harder and this is harder, but actually building up and up and know we're serving at greater and greater levels. And so I told Wendy, you know, this is not for anybody else's ears, but now I'm going to tell you guys too. So, and Dottie, it's interesting. You were on the Monday call and the Wednesday call. Now, it might not be perceived by the audience, but you're going to feel this in strategy sessions sometimes too. You'll go into a strategy session and you'll go, oh man, that was so awful. This happened because, or I talked to the wrong person or whatever. It's just part of the journey. It's just part of the journey. And this is so for the company, you know, that as I'm running this company too, it doesn't, you know, just bad news maybe, but I don't think it's bad news. It's just like, we're always on the court, always at the next cutting edge. And so the Monday call and the Wednesday call might've been experienced completely the same by the audience. I don't know how Dottie experienced those two calls. For me internally, it was experienced completely differently. I got off the call on Monday and I'm just always there teaching, training, doing my best and doing the best on the court. There's this much time to prepare and I got other things calling to me. And I get, my daughter walks in the door right afterwards and I just said to Dana, I just did this really important call and I just feel humiliated. Those are my true actual words. And see, this Dottie going, you know, like that was amazing. There were all these ahas. I still have an editor too. I just want you to know, right? Because I could see all the places where I made a mistake. I could see all the places where I could have, you know, it could have been tighter. That story could have been better. We all have editors. I've got mine too. I don't mind sharing that with you. I just don't want to publish on the front page of the New York Times, all right? Without context, and I have time to tell you the context here, all right? So I told Dana that because she walked in the door and she gets it. She's on the court too. She's really doing things. Sometimes she wins, sometimes she loses, but on the court. I don't want you to be afraid to be on the court. And sometimes you'll feel great and sometimes you'll feel awful. Sometimes the world will think it's great and you'll feel awful. Sometimes you'll feel great, the world thinks it's awful. Do your duty, be unattached to the outcome. Dana knows me so well. She's like, that's okay, Mom. I'm sure it was great. It's always great. And I'm like, yeah, but this is how I feel. And this is what happened and this is what happened. And she's like, Mom, it's fine. They probably, she's, you know, giving me my own empowering story. I can find a disempowering story as well, right? So I'm sure they learned. And I said, yeah, I know it served. I know it served. But it's actually how I felt. But the thing is, I loved the Wednesday call. So we sent the recording out about the Wednesday call. I didn't love the Monday call, even though I knew it served. But the Wednesday call was built out of the Monday call. That's what I wanted to share with you. I'm telling you this being in the game for your strategy sessions. The Wednesday call couldn't have happened if I hadn't done the Monday call because I learned from it. And if, you know, if Dottie was there for both of them and if she was paying attention, if you listen to those two calls, you're going to hear very different things because I learned and I had more time to put into it too, right? And I just changed a few structures around and so on. And I just knew the material better. I know that material for a long, long time, but putting it together in that particular way, I've only given that talk once before, right? that I recall. No, maybe it was twice before, a long time ago, right? So, and never this talk in this form ever. So that's okay. You know, praise, blame, you feel good, you feel bad, don't worry about it. And on the Monday call, I knew that it had served. And that's how I actually felt. And then by Wednesday, oh, this is a piece that I want to tell you. By Wednesday, after I did that call, I felt triumphant. Now, from an outer perspective, they probably didn't feel that different. To me, it felt completely different. I felt triumphant. And then the funny thing is, once I'd done the Wednesday call, the Monday call felt different to me too. And by the time the person that I was Wednesday night, I'm like, I hadn't even remembered that I felt that way. And then I recall, because I was chatting with Dana, and I'm like, right. What was I thinking? Because that was actually a pretty darn good call.
You know? It was.
In the interim, because I'd had the call on Wednesday, because I put the work in, and always up leveling, always the next level, always the next level. We didn't have that tweak last time of putting the gift right on the sales page. That's ingenious. That was not me. That was Amy who suggested that. So the next level tweak, the next level tweak, you won't get them all the first time. If you do, and you wait on the on that strategy session, you won't have all the things. You do your best in that first one. You learn, you do the next one. That's why you do as many of them as quickly as you can. You succeed, you fail, you feel great, you feel bad, whatever. The Wednesday call happened because of the Monday call. That next strategy session will happen because you get on the court as soon as you can. You're just in action. You're just in action. All right. So was it the right to share that story? Was that a good decision to share that? I couldn't believe that the word humiliating came up in my mind. That doesn't happen very often.
It was a beautiful, beautiful share. It really touched my heart and really helped me.
I'm so glad. That's why I shared it. I thought it would. We're right in the middle of a game. So what I want to do before we get into the material for today's call that will serve and support where we are in the game and take us the next step in the Abundance series, I want you to just take a minute and jot down your biggest questions about the game. We're on the court. We're in the game. The game, and we're in it. Like, how do I say this? I want to say we're in it to win it. Why? Because it feels good. Not attached to the outcome, but we want to, if we're playing a hockey game and we're only always on defense, I hope they don't score. I hope the other team doesn't score. It just doesn't, life doesn't feel very good. You get it? It's like, wow, I think I can put the puck in the net and I could score. It just feels better. And if hockey isn't your thing, it's not even my thing anymore, but I remember it from my childhood, right? Whatever the analogy is that works for you, right? When I paint a beautiful painting and I like the way it worked out, it just feels better. We aim for that. Do your duty, be unattached to the outcome. So we're in the game to win it. $2,000 sale and up. Either have that or support somebody. When I support somebody and they have that sale, I'm going to learn a ton. So, right, jot down your questions. We're going to spend a couple minutes on questions and the questions that have been posted. And then we're going to get to the material for the day, which I've already been teaching. Just haven't really told you much what it is. So take a minute, jot down your two biggest questions. Okay, I know that's just a minute. Just finish up that last question that's in front of you. We'll get to as many of them as we can, rapid fire here. And then remember, the generating the questions itself, that act itself is game changing. You can go and post those questions in the Facebook page. You can get on a connection call with somebody in the community and take it further, right? You can generate more questions that will generate more answers for you on the court, in the game, and for your company, for your life, all right? But let's just do some rapid fire questions right now. I'll take two or three or four or five of them, whatever we can do in a few minutes. And again, it won't be the last word on that question. Sometimes we might be able to do a day-long training on it, but here's one seed of an idea that will help move you forward. So, and we'll just take this like whoever's first, right? Let's just take a few of these questions right here, right now, and just start with my question is, no background, just my question is, and it's something that will move you forward and move the community forward in the game. Dottie, was that your hand up? No, okay, so who's first? And I know there's a question from Mary Kay and Dottie too. We'll do those right after. Yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead.
My question is, should I keep my two strategy calls for tonight, knowing that I also might have something urgent and need to get off?
Oh, that's a great question. And that's a question from somebody on the court who's done this before, who's like, that's an informed question. Thank you. And if you haven't been on the court, that's okay too. But that's coming from on the court. I love the question itself. Thank you.
It feels right.
I didn't have this answer, but the answer is it depends. It depends on your own mind, I would say. I have sometimes kept strategy sessions when there's something that may pull me away, but I think it probably won't. I think it's okay. And I'm going to get their agreement at the beginning, because it's really timely, because I'm feeling really great, because I know that it's something with Dana, but it's unlikely, but there's a percentage chance, and I've held it. Other times when I go inside, and that's the importance of Shavasana too, and Mary Kay, you have so many internal practices, you know how to do. Other times it's just like, I know my mind's gonna be out. I'm gonna be half listening over there. I'm not gonna be aligned in this call. And then I can't be fully present with that person. I have no problem rebooking. So I can't tell you for definitively, because I don't know if it's A or B, but I have sometimes reluctantly rebooked because I needed to, but I know that it's the thing to do, because I will not, I will hold space for that person at the highest level. I'll also check in and go, I don't feel quite right today. I think I'm going to cancel. Then it's my editor being scared, right? Or is it just, let me give you an example. There was a high-level strategy session. We were partway through. This was going to be an offer. I knew this was one of our members of our community who came in to do the work at a really high level. And we were at the call where I knew I was going to make the offer. She was probably going to accept it. And my niece all of a sudden needed to go to the hospital. I was the only one in town who could drive her. And then I knew that this person was going to go away to an event right afterwards with somebody who does work in a similar area. And there was going to be an offer. And I'm like, I am who I am. I'm going to go take care of my niece. I'm really sorry. I can't be there. I'll see you on the other side of the event. That person came back and said, that person made a fantastic offer. But Michelle, we were mid-conversation. And he came up to tell me that he wanted me to join. I told him that I'm in conversation with Michelle and I wanted to wait to see what she had to offer. I let it go because otherwise, I'm not who I say I am. I'm not being who I am. And that I trust that the universe will be aligned. And that person actually registered at a higher level than I had even expected, because we actually had more time to do more work. And it turned out to be the best journey for her because of that. So I don't know where you are, but Mary Kay, does that give you a little bit to go by?
I think so. I think I'm going to go with right now. It feels like I should. And then it may depend on what unfolds before 6 p.m.
Yes. Trust that. And I always get the agreement at the beginning of the call. And it could be too that you feel aligned, but it's, you know, there's a little bit tugging in the different direction, and you come into the call and you can tell they're exhausted, they're distracted, they're in a grouchy mood, you know, like, or they come in aligned, awake, ready, like all of that. I just trust that the universe is aligned. I'm not playing from small self. I'm bringing my whole self to it, but I want to hold space for them, and that the right people for this work will understand and will actually even honor that. It's like, I'm sorry, I couldn't be there. I had to drive my niece to the hospital and short notice, I can't come. That person valued that in me. Then I couldn't have lived with myself if I'd chosen anything else. So thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Let's take a couple more questions real quick. I can start with my question is. Yeah, Carly.
So my question is, I have for kind of the first time, a list of people from an event that I went to that want to get more information about my company. These are kind of almost cold contacts. I don't know them. And there's about 40 different people, from real estate agents to contractors to different people. So I'm really excited about these potential connections. But what would be the best first step? Because I tend to make a personal connection with people rather than just sending a pamphlet or information. And I've seen a lot of the pamphlet kind of thing going on from the other members.
Right. So context is all. So I don't know if these people were all, I really don't like that stuff, but I don't think it's probably either, but whatever, I met this, woman named Carly and she does what, or it's like, well, I'm 1 inch away from buying, right? If they were all 1 inch away from buying and they're all huge contracts and so on, I would phone them all,
Right.
So it's like, it's really on the court decision. You can also do a hybrid. I think that's the biggest thing that I want to suggest. You can send them something. It's like, hey, I was thinking of you. And after our conversation, maybe you send, if there's 40 of them, maybe you could even group them. Maybe it's one thing you send out to them, or they're in groups of 10. And these 10 people, you can say, hey, I was thinking about you. We had a conversation about such and such. And you can send them, or you can send them a little personalized note at the beginning, and then something that's more like a form, right? So that you have time to do it. And then you can also send them, it's phone numbers you have?
Emails,
just emails. Okay. And you don't have other contacts.
I have some phone numbers.
Yeah. So if you got some phone numbers, you can do a hybrid too. And some might be more prospects than others. And it's okay to go after the low hanging fruit. Like this person was chomping at bits, like, Carly, you do what? Oh my God, we have to talk. Versus the other person going like, Carly Hoon was on the other end of the room virtually, right? So that person that was, you just trust your instincts, and that person's a hotter lead, and or what you have time for, and you take them in priority, and you can send them a text and say, hey, it was great to meet you, one yes at a time. Hey, it was great to meet you at such and such. Is this the right number for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You already got the first yes, and you don't make it hard. You don't say, hey, and I've got this free gift, and would you like that? And blah, blah, blah. Okay. Hey, great to meet you. Is this the right number? Great. And then some of them, they might go to connection call. Some of them, with 40, you can't do that with 400, but with 40, you can do a hybrid. And if you do send them all something, and make sure you've got a call to action with it, right? Even if it's like you give them a free gift and the free gift has a call to action. If you have that built, you can do that. If you don't have that built, it could be the call to action could be heading to connection call. You can do whatever you have the time for, and you can prioritize them, and it can be a hybrid.
Okay.
Right. But celebrate as well. Yeah. 40 names. Fantastic. Okay. This is a luxury, good problem to have,
Yeah, it is.
So don't forget to celebrate. All right. Let's hear one more question. Yeah. Two more. So I saw Jamie's hand and then Dottie. So Jamie, go ahead.
Well, that, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So that gave me, I want to kind of build on that, to ask for your recommendation. I think I keep putting this off. I'm giving myself excuses not to take any action, but my market is higher level coaches, and so many of our network, my existing network, is working with the kind of coaches I want to get in front of, and I would love an introduction, but it's a little odd to say, it's not enough to say, hey, you two meet each other. Like, how do I, what's a suggestion for an easy first step, a way to ask people to introduce me to them without being like, hey, she wants to sell you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. To always come from service. I think this will help release that editor, because of the way you asked the question. This is why I'm answering it in this way. All right. There's an editor around taking the first step. So our job is to release that editor for you so you can take the step. And so when you are always coming from service and you're remembering that you're always coming from service, it's not so hard. And you can, and where I would go to is probably if it's further away, they're not like, hey, Jamie, can I work with you? So then, yes, let's go to a strategy session. They're just, it can be a connection call. It can be a connection call. And you can say, and then remember that a connection call is open-ended. Maybe you're going to become their client. Maybe they'll become your client. Maybe you'll become new best friends. Maybe you'll each talk to each other's lists. Maybe there's a multitude of things that could happen in a connection call. So then you're not envisioning yourself as, hey, I want you to introduce me so I can pounce and sell something. Like, you've got a used car salesman vision of yourself in there that's blocking you. So instead, Jamie, it's like, hey, think of the human reason of why you'd like to meet that person. Think of the human reason and what do you know about, and this is done, you know, it can be done not like, will you introduce me to these 20 people? At this high ticket level, this is one person at a time. And it can be one thing at a time. So a couple people have come into the community this way. People have come in when, say they were the speaker at eWomen, then they've come and joined this community, for instance. And sometimes it's just like, hey, I haven't, maybe it's somebody I knew before. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Do you want to just get together and chat? I'd love to find out what's going on for you. And that's actually genuine inside me. And it's not so much pressure, one yes at a time. Or it might be, hey, you know, because one person in the community came in like this, she was speaking at an event. And I said, you know, hey, I loved the content of the talk. I knew it didn't convert at all. You know, it was just really easy for me to see. And so I'm like, hey, I loved what you said about this and this and this and that, you know, how'd the talk go for you? And I just asked a general question. Well, you know, okay. Cool. So did you, you know, I think I was maybe even a little more direct. Did you pick up a lot of leads? Well, you know, not as many as I would have liked. Hey, well, do you want to get together on a call and just brainstorm a bit about speaking? I'm speaking all the time too. It was genuine. I'm not saying anything that's not true. You know, we've both learned about speaking. I'd love to share some ideas about it. Do you want to get on a call about it? It's a connection call, and you're not just trying to pounce on them and sell something. Maybe you're not trying to sell them something. Maybe you want to join. Maybe you want to be in front of their community. Maybe they could be in front of your community.
Well, maybe that's a way. Yeah, because what I'm thinking is those people think, it might be in my editor.
Exactly.
They're above. They feel unapproachable because they speak to hundreds, thousands at a time. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You don't just ask that person for a connection.
Mm-hmm. Don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you?
Okay. That's only who you are. The first time I did Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs. So we've done that, what, 3 times now? And I became friends with Andrea J. Lee. We haven't been in touch too much in the last couple of years, but we became really close, just haven't had time to reconnect. But she started as my mentor. And she had built so much, and I was a little bit, you know, awestruck about her. I liked her work a lot. And I had that same thing asking her to be on Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs. So I got some support from my accountability partner. It's like, how do I even ask her to do this? And she's not going to receive anything. I had a whole editor around it. She's not going to receive anything in return. I just want her time. And can you hear? It's the same thing. Editor, editor, editor. So I talked to one of my accountability partners, and she said, why don't you just go ask her? I'm like, oh, right. So I went up the next day. We were at Platinum together, actually. Platinum, eWomen Network Platinum. And I said, Andrea, I even told her, I'm kind of scared to ask you. This is a first ask for me. You've been my mentor. Will you help me through this? But I wanted to ask you, I've got this event and I'd love for you to speak at it. Is there any possibility? I was couching it all over that you might. And if you're busy, I get it. And she's like, sure, Michelle, just send me the dates. I'd be honored. You know, like, we build it up in our minds. What if they want to serve and support you and they're as interested in meeting you as you are of them? All right. Really great questions. I thought we'd only spend a couple minutes, but I'm like, these are great questions. We're right on the court. We have a deadline for, I want to help you with the game. So let's dive in. One last question, Dottie.
I'm excited to ask this question. It's in response to Carly first. I happen to have been a realtor for 40 years.
I want you to stop you, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Start with my question is.
Oh, thank you. My question is, especially to answer for Carly, would it work similar to you of saying, how did the talk go for you? To upfront say, thank you for all of the people that responded. I would like to tell you who this call is not for. And it's not for people who are casually interested.
Okay, so you're jumping too far ahead, I would say. You're jumping too far ahead for what I've heard from Carly's connections. Okay. And that is something that is particularly for you, Dottie, but for all, we all have that tendency too, all right? So it's too many yeses at once. And Carly has some casual, it's sort of a casual list put together. I mean, they're contacts, but that's assuming too much. That would be like a first date with somebody and saying, listen, I'll go on this date with you and here we are at dinner, but I wanted to make sure that first that you don't have any relatives with cancer because I don't want to marry somebody and have a child with them if they've got a huge cancer history. And also I don't like people who are sloppy. So don't be sloppy. If you're sloppy, we're going to stop this lunch right now. It's like, wait a second, they're all going to run away, right? One yes at a time. And know where we are in the relationship, right? So with Carly, it's like, hey, nice to meet you. How are you doing? Did I get the right phone number for you? Yes. Great. Well, I'd love to connect. Hey, and it depends on some people she might know prior, she might not. This person that I was talking about, I already had a prior connection with, so I could be a little more direct. With somebody that I just met, I probably would not have been quite as direct. Because I knew this person could receive that, but I didn't even start there. I just started with what I loved and it was genuine. I love that you were talking about this and this. These are really important issues for people. And then she actually came to say, I don't think people heard this and this and that, right? Okay, great questions. Thank you so much. Please jot down your biggest aha from these questions. And then if you've got more questions, fantastic. Go post them in the Facebook page, tag and text me, lean in with each other, be on connection calls, keep it moving. We're on the court, the game is on. So take one moment, jot down your biggest aha. Marie's note reminds me, say hi in the chat. I've been forgetting to remind you guys about that. But you can say hi in the chat. That helps Amy. So, and it helps us help you. Don't forget to say hi in the chat. Then we know you're here. You can do that now. All right. So I want to go quickly to the two questions that have been posted. These are great, great questions. If we don't go as thoroughly in them as you would like, just keep posting, just keep asking, all right? But we should have, I think I can address these pretty quickly and easily, and they're related. Dottie's question, Mary Kay's question. Dottie asked, who thinks Facebook Live is a good way to start with marketing to my close-in people, people I know or have met them? It's neither good nor bad. It's like, what do you want to do with it? And what do you want to say with it? And, and Facebook Live is a little further away than just a direct message, like I was encouraging Carly to do. Anytime you direct message a single person, that's always going to be our closest in. Then we can start, we can start with going one-to-one. And then as we build that capacity, we can start more and more going one-to-many. Facebook Live is one-to-many. And, I would do my very best to go in one-to-one and do like 100 strategy sessions. When I've done 100 strategy sessions, I'll know what to say in that Facebook Live, or at least 10 of them, right? And, or at least, 50 of them, and half, or a quarter of them has said yes, or, So always everything that we've learned in sales, the story, and starting there. So it's neither good nor bad, but I would start even closer in with direct conversations with people. And this leads to Mary Kay's question. So thank you. So great question, Dottie. Hopefully that gives you a start. Mary Kay says, we see you and other successful entrepreneurs as role models and see you now doing a lot with social media. Is there a way to balance close in context and things we could do on social media before we hit six figures? What, if anything, would you recommend doing on social media at this stage, as long as we're prioritizing close in? Well, as we all know, the world has changed in COVID-19. And so our, you know, live connections, live in the same room, are not as frequent. Sometimes they may be happening in small ways, but mostly we're virtual. This company was already had in its plan to be doing a lot more in social media because of where we're at in the company right now. Before COVID-19, the plan was already in place. So, and COVID-19 just emphasized that we were doing the right thing at the right time. So, what to do on social media? The very thing that I was just saying to Carly and to Dottie is the answer to that question. Always find a way to start the closest in. And always your question should be, how do I find that next strategy session? And then where are places to find strategy sessions? Well, I can have a vendor table at an event where my ideal clients hang out. I can give a talk to that group. I can do an exchange with somebody who's in an area, you know, who has people in front of them that could be my ideal client. I'll speak to their audience, they'll speak to mine. That's a very powerful way to get in front of people. I'll have my free gift and I'll be in connection calls with people. Maybe they'll end up being a go to strategy session, or maybe I need to be in front of their audience. And with social media, again, as low tech as we can make it, where are groups already gathering? Where are your ideal clients already there? And, you know, sending notes to them, all that kind of low tech stuff first. And social media, the thing about social media is it's never the direct route. With the high ticket, what used to be called the high ticket virtual retreat, sales is a story. I always want you to go the direct route there. Social media is the long game. All right. So you're building your audience, you're building your marketing, but it's going to take, it's a lot longer time to get there. And the company needs to be at a certain level to be able to sustain that investment, you know, in Facebook ads or whatever it is, to grow the audience. But at, you know, we do that at a certain stage of the company. It's like, am I at that stage of the company? Here's my plan. You can give me that exact question and I will let you guys know. But I would say, to stay with close in with social media is to be finding where other people are hanging out. You can be in, you know, you can be in Facebook groups, for instance, or wherever your audience, maybe, I don't know if it's LinkedIn or wherever they are, be in groups where they're already talking and engage there, and then be, you know, close in a one-on-one conversation with that person. Maybe then you're going to be in front of their audience. Like, that is so much lower tech way than a Facebook ad, for instance, or posting even Facebook Lives and so on. All that is a little further away. And I would always recommend taking the closest in route. And if you, once you've already built that and you have reliable strategy sessions coming in and you know how to close them, then I would start going to other pieces around social media. And if you think of social media as the place where you play and where you hone your message, that's fine. But don't, I would not expect business to come from it directly quickly unless we're using all those close in tactics. And that's where I suggest you start. Okay. So hopefully that's a good start on that, on those questions. Please just post, tag, and text me if you want more on that. Again, most people start with all that stuff too soon and too far away. I would stick with the closed in until that we know how that's working. All right. Yeah, and then just contribute and make sure that what you're contributing is of real value to the conversation wherever you're conversing, right? And converse somewhere where your ideal clients are hanging out. So that's my best advice at this stage. All right, we're going to take it away from the questions for now. Mary Kay, does that give you at least a place to start? Okay, fantastic. Thank you. And if you want more, again, you know the ways to get more. All right, let's take a collective breath. Inhaling. Exhale, let it go. And again, inhaling. Exhale, let it go. All right. Today's material about our next abundance practice is super easy to understand. I used to take the whole call to dive in, but we don't need that. We just need ears to hear. And then we can get there very quickly if you've got your full heart and attention here. All right. So here's how I want to approach the topic for our second abundance principle, the thing that we want to do. Last week, it was all about practices. This week, to do all these things on the court, right? For Carly to actually follow up, right, with those 40 people, for Mary Kay to go and take that first step, whatever it is on social media, for Dottie to do or not do that Facebook Live and engage with that next person and so on. We need internal resources. We need to know our own worthiness. We need to know that what we have has value. We need that powerful inner world story. Otherwise, we're not even going to take the step. Witness or Jamie's like, how do I go talk to that person? The action step is actually utterly simple. Like I said, when I talked to Andrea J. Lee, Andrea, I'm inviting people to talk. Would you like to? It's not rocket science. All of the work was inside. If you get what I'm saying, nod your head. Are you with me? All the work is there. And then I just go do that thing, right? I take that inspired action was to actually freaking ask her, you know, it wasn't the hard part. So we want to be on the court. We're in the midst of the game. We know that if we're not making offers, we don't have a company, and we have a very important window. It's February. It's a couple of weeks. If it's not even that, when does March start? It's soon. To really get to practice all that it takes to have that strategy session and close it. So I'd be asking umpteen questions about that. Whatever it is that's tactical that gets you tactical, it's a war, whatever it is that is strategic that gets you on the ground and doing those strategy sessions as much as possible. But let's say when I said that inside you, your inner world went, I don't want to do any of that. Or I feel tired or I'm resisting that. Again, we can't get there then. So what is it that produces that alignment inside of us? What is it that allows us to even want to take that inspired action? I had to want to go ask Andrea J. Lee, or I wouldn't have done it. I had to want to do that second call on Wednesday when I went, oh, I feel humiliated. You know, how do I move from that point? Yeah, and even if the world is saying they like it, right? To move into the joy of that next step. So that I can receive the abundance that is mine to receive. Otherwise, I won't even be making those offers. My company's not going to yield anything. And I haven't received the tactical part of abundance. You know, abundance is so much more than that. It's a mindset. It's knowing what we have already around us and so on. We'll talk more about that next time. But I mean, just having that strategy session, closing it, like if my internal story doesn't support it, it doesn't matter how easy that step is. Oh, I walk up to her and ask her, it becomes insurmountable. And conversely, when my story is aligned, and in this case, my accountability partner just said, why don't you just go ask her? Reminded me of who I was, reminded me of how it benefits her, reminded me of the goodwill that's in people that of course she's going to want to help me. Now I'm aligned with it. The key that I want to give you today is one that without this, I don't know how to have that alignment. And then none of that abundance comes. Make sense? Without this key, none of that arrives. It's a very simple practice, but it's so simple we miss it. It's the power of the pause. The power of the pause. There are moments of profound activity. Yvonne just came out of that. It's like kind of 24/7. I know you're on the court at an event. It's very intensive activity. Now, Yvonne can do that for a few days, but if she kept living at that level, she's going to burn out and she's not even going to want to do it. And her body will sabotage her. So we have rhythms of sometimes even intense activity. Nothing wrong with that. I do that. I don't see anything wrong with that. Sometimes we're just putting it in. I do that for my daughter, for instance. She needs me, I'm there. I'm not going to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. Busy right now, you know, if there's something really important that she needs. Or like my niece had to drive her to the hospital, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to put it in. So But that is not going to happen, and it's not going to happen consistently, and it's not going to happen in a sustained way unless and until I remember to take amazing care of myself and to pause. Our work is a rhythm of activity and rest, activity and rest. And I think this call, I can't say which one is the most important all year long. Every piece is indispensable. But I got to say that this call and this message has got to be one of the most important things that I could say in all of 2021. Because I think in this COVID-19 world, we're just working and working and working. And we don't have all the pauses that we used to have. I know that's true in my own life. I canceled 21 trips. Each one of them would have at least a day for myself, right? Some of them business, some of them pleasure, right? So what structures do we need to actually have a profound pause? And I really mean it. I eat my own cooking. We start each call with a pause. I think it's that important. And when we don't pause, we paused in different ways. I paused with my daughter after that call, because if I hadn't processed that, I would be carrying that into the next call. Even if everybody thought that call was great, I would carry that, and it's like it would taint that next call. Am I finding a rhythm of pausing? And I will not if I feel unworthy. If there's something in me that doesn't know my own magnificence, if there's something in me that doesn't trust, if there's something in me that thinks I got to work harder than everybody else because I'm not quite as good or whatever, even unconsciously, I won't stop because I think I got to do more and bigger than anybody else. Yvonne, I'm thinking about the way you enact your world now versus when we started playing together. Weren't you doing 10 times as much as anybody else? Really? Now, aren't you doing it's not that you're not working right now, but so much more focused, so much more intentional, with so much more space and so many more results because of building in the pause. And the pause will only come, the stopping will only come when we know we're already worthy. When we know that actually it comes, the growth comes from that. And so I wanted to share with you, two things. There are two books that I go back to over and over and over again. If you've been around, you've seen these before. I've seen them many, many, many times. It doesn't stop me from going back to them. Sherry Huber, The Key. I love this book. Just buy it, right? The Key by Sherry Huber. You can go find it on Amazon or wherever. And the name of the key is Willingness. And where this book starts, and it's written in cartoon form. I love this. Here's the opening of the book. And she says, please, do not do yourself the disservice of assuming there is something to do that is more important than just being. Right here, right now, present, aware, attentive, accepting. Goes on, but there's the essence of it, right? Pause, pause. And I want us to notice the rhythm between the inspired action and the pause. I'm not saying only do this. As entrepreneurs, if we only do this, we also don't have a company. Right? Harv Eker used to say, I've never seen an entrepreneur meditate long enough that a bag of money dropped on their head. I'm like, that might sound crass. That was very much the way Harv Eker spoke, but it's true. Like, the company won't happen if we only do this. But can I find a rhythm? Can I know that at the heart of it, this is so important to find that pause? And I've found solutions to this. That's why I start your day with Shavasana, and I've reestablished that. I'd lost it in my life. I've come back to it again. Reestablishing that pause. It's okay if we lose it, come back to it again. I've had so many key insights for the company. Problems that I've been trying to solve will come to me in that pause. And the author of The Key, Sherry Huber, C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R, Sherry Huber, The Key. So so many solutions come, so we don't have to work so hard. Remember, Jack Canfield says, 1 hour of work in the inner world, 7 hours work in the outer world. Are you working too hard? I wanted to share with you that one book, and then the other book, which I love, Sabbath, Wayne Muller. My first entrepreneurial coach was in 2007. He pointed me in the direction of this book. And with a title like Sabbath, I had baggage around that word Sabbath. You know, I'm like, Sabbath, that's like rules and regulations about keeping the Sabbath that I didn't really get. Like, other teachings made more sense to me, but Sabbath, you know, I had friends who weren't allowed to play ball on Sundays and like, what, you know, it didn't make sense to me until I read this book. I trusted him. I read it. I've read it many times. I've turned back to this book since 2007 over and over and over again. I've read the first pages of it countless, countless times in multiple different contexts, and I want to read them to you here. If you've heard this book countless times with me, listen again. If you've never heard it, listen here. Listen with all your heart. You might want to close your eyes. This could be the most important thing that actually propels and allows for that abundance in our lives. And it's not just an abundance of things coming our way. I mean, it's so much more deeply than that. It's to actually experience the richness of our lives in every single area, to be in the driver's seat of our own lives, to know the abundance that we're living in daily and not miss it, so we don't get to the end of our lives and go, what was it? I wish I'd noticed when it was there. Sometimes we only notice it after it's gone. It's like, oh, the pleasure of going for coffee without a mask with somebody. We didn't notice we had that until it left. And there's things that we have right now that are plentiful and full, and we're not even seeing them. So that level of abundance we miss when we don't get this. Sabbath, finding rest, renewal, and delight in our busy lives. And I love the Joan Borsenko, who's a meditation teacher, beautiful little blurb on the back of the cover. She says, Wayne Muller's call to remember the Sabbath is not only rich, wise, and poetic, it may well be the only salvation for body and soul in a world gone crazy with busyness and stress. This is the antidote. This is the relief. This is it. When we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off, we don't take any of the right actions anyway. So in the midst of the game, which is about a lot of action, a lot of activity, I want us to balance that and also remember not to pause at the end of the game, to pause in the middle of it, to pause for the sake of pausing, not just strategically, but also to pause strategically, because otherwise we can't even think, right? And again, from Rachel Naomi Remen, another little blurb. And I don't take this lightly. This is how I read this book. At the top blurb, it says, this is a book that may save your life. It's not just about our companies. It's not just about the game. It goes so far beyond. Sabbath offers a surprising direction for healing to anyone who has ever glimpsed emptiness at the heart of a busy and productive life. And this is on the court all the time. Think of how I felt that moment after I ended that call on Monday. It'll come unbidden at weird times when we're really on the court and growing our business. If I hadn't paused around that, my company would be in a very different trajectory. This is every day, every hour, each breath, right? Can I pause at the end of the breath where sometimes we're hyperventilating? We're not even breathing properly. We're not even pausing in our breath. So this is how this book begins. And this book has been more and become more and more meaningful to me over the 14 years that I've been reading it. And I've read these words more times than I can say. Every time I hear it anew, you might want to close your eyes to listen. Remember the Sabbath. In the relentless busyness of modern life, we've lost the rhythm between work and rest. All life requires a rhythm of rest. There's a rhythm in our waking activity and the body's need for sleep. There's a rhythm in the way day dissolves into night and night into morning. There's a rhythm as the active growth of spring and summer is quieted by the necessary dormancy of fall and winter. There's a tidal rhythm, a deep, eternal conversation between the land and the great sea. In our bodies, the heart perceptibly rests after each life-giving beat. The lungs rest between the exhale and the inhale. We have lost this essential rhythm. Our culture invariably supposes that action and accomplishment are better than rest, that doing something, anything, is better than doing nothing. Because of our desire to succeed, to meet these ever-growing expectations, we do not rest. Because we do not rest, we lose our way. We miss the compass points that would show us where to go. We bypass the nourishment that would give us succor. We miss the quiet that would give us wisdom. We miss the joy and love born of effortless delight, poisoned by this hypnotic belief that good things come only through unceasing determination and tireless effort. We can never truly rest. And for want of rest, our lives are in danger. In our drive for success, we're seduced by the promises of more, more money, more recognition, more satisfaction, more love, more information, more influence, more possessions, more security. Even when our intentions are noble and our efforts sincere, even when we dedicate our lives to the service of others, the corrosive pressure of frantic overactivity can nonetheless cause suffering in ourselves and others. A successful life has become a violent enterprise. We make war on our own bodies, pushing them beyond their limits, war on our children because we can't find time to be with them when they're hurt and afraid and need our company, war on our spirit because we're too preoccupied to listen to the quiet voices that seek to nourish and refresh us, war on our communities because we're fearfully protecting what we have and don't feel safe enough to be kind and generous, war on the earth because we can't take the time to place our feet on the ground and allow it to feed us, to taste its blessings, and give thanks. In this era of the game, this activity of the game is profoundly important for our companies. We don't make offers, we don't have a company. We make offers, we can serve at the highest level and live a life deeply on purpose. But that's nourished by the pause, by Shavasana, by the ways that we stop so that we can take that next right action. Even in the pause to ask a question like Carly going, I have these 40 names, what do I do? And Carly could rush in and draft an email that says, hurry up. And if she's in a hurry, she's gonna say, hurry up and reach out to me right now. Otherwise, you know, I won't ever talk to you ever again or something. Like, I don't know, because she's in a rush. Or she can pause, stop and think, take good care of herself. And there will be a ripple effect for them and with them to take good care of them, to actually be in deep communication and harmony with them, to build a company and a life that we love. So I ask you this week, last week we were looking at our practices. This week I want you to look at one of those practices, which is the practice of pausing. Are you remembering to pause? And how can you find that rhythm of work and rest? There are multiple ways you can do it. We're coming to the end of this call, so I just want to mention just a few of them. I start out, see you soon. And for those who need to leave, if I'm the only one left at the hour, no worries. I'll give you these last tips. You can listen in the recording. You can post your ahas and inspired actions on the Facebook page. When are you actually working and when are you not working? To carve that out for your week, when's your stop time? Have you remembered to do that? I didn't used to take weekends off. That's time with my daughter. That's time for thinking. That's time for going for walks. Now I'm doing that. My company's growing faster because of it. What's your rhythm of work and rest? Are you pausing during the day, starting with Shavasana? I've done a once a month spa day that I'm doing every month now, right? So there's rhythms in the day. There's rhythms in the week. There's rhythms in the month. There's stopping before the end of it. In Sabbath, one of the things he talks about from one spiritual tradition happens to be the Christian one. Jesus, there would be all these people for him to feed, and loaves to create and so on, and the disciples ready for him, and he would just go wander off into the woods and pray. I'm like, wait, but there's all this stuff to do. He would stop in the middle. Have you remembered to stop and renew your spirit in the middle? And that's the thing that will have us seeing the abundance in our lives right here, right now. The abundance of beauty that was in our past, and it will have us anticipating something beautiful in the future. So I wanted this reminder here in the abundance series, this reminder to pause, because without that rhythm of work and rest, how can we possibly live the lives that we want, serve the people at the deepest level? And what are we creating for our clients anyway if we don't have that? Here, I want to get you there. I want to get you there faster. And like, thank you, Jamie. This is beautiful. Thank you so much. I see your words. So like Jamie with relationship marketing is like, hey, you know, I'm in a real rush and I'm going to go and help you build real relationships, but I'm so tired. I can't even think. Like, it's so obvious that we miss it. It's right here. It's right in front of our noses. We do that and we're not creating those real relationships that we crave. Where's the rhythm in our own lives so that we're keeping it real and connected and on purpose, and that we have the time to think for that, to let that wisdom come up from that deeper place? Once a week, I have creative time on my calendar. It's a 3 to 4 hour block every week. Am I perfect with it? No. Is it on my calendar every week? Yes. Where I just have time to think and create, where my team can't put stuff in the, you know, for me to do. And I'm free to create, to think, to envision new courses, to go for a walk, to watch a movie with my daughter if I want to. Creative time, it's another way that I build in the pause. So I ask you, how have you been building in the pause? How can you increase the quality and quantity of that? Because that is the thing that supports the activity and has it happening as inspired action, not chicken with your head cut off action, the kind of action that is real, that's aligned, that gets results. And that has us living, and the byproduct is we live a better life. Isn't that creating the life that we want anyway? All right, it's 3 minutes after at my end. Yeah, so we're gonna wrap this call up. If you're both gone, thank you. Carly, Dottie's still here. That's okay. We'll hear the ahas and inspired actions on the Facebook page. If you have another minute to stay, Carly, you're up in my left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action to bring us home.
Oh, this was such an enriching call. Wonderful. Thank you. You know, just I think aha of getting the first yes for the 40. That was interesting. That's very, it's kind of a different approach in my industry. So I appreciate that. And then,
I'm just going to pause you there just for a second, because that comes from when we have a life that has pauses in it, we won't be such a rush to get to the end line.
Right.
And so we'll take the time for real conversation. That's one step and one yes at a time that moves us forward so much more quickly. So when we're pausing, it's going to be much more our natural tendency to do it in that way that builds real relationships. So thank you for that, Carly. It's so in the energy of everything we're talking about today. And your inspired action?
To figure out what the question is going to be to get a first yes.
Yeah. Now that is a great place to put your mind, because of the pausing that we did, so that you're asking the right questions, and out of that comes so much more and so much more easily. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you, Carly. All right, Dottie, let's bring us home. One aha, one inspired action. And Dottie, don't take offense if Carly needs to leave. There's no offense taken anytime if anybody needs to leave. Dottie, go ahead. And you're muted right now.
To leave for a minute, a repairman came to my house and I couldn't not answer the door. The whole class is just brilliant. I just love repetition because I see the value of it. I mean, Carly, I've taken a million courses. And it's just great. And that's it. I do have a very deep personal problem. And Carly, I feel very comfortable with you, but I don't want it recorded.
So hang on a second. Where we're at right now is one aha and one inspired action. And if you have other questions for a different forum right now, even if it's pressing, we stay with this here. So we're not rushing to somewhere else. It's right in the energy of what we're teaching about. Let's stay here with this, and also abundance, that there's plenty of time and space for whatever it is you need that is that is something else, not rushing over there. So Dottie, if you'll stay, just one sentence so we can bring it home. One aha, one inspired action.
My huge aha is to not do social media, but to do the calls, the close-in calls.
Thank you. And it's like practical applications. thank you for actually hearing it. It's like when it's heard and implemented, what's the close-in move? What's the close-in move? What's the close-in move? That could have saved you 6 months off your journey easily right here, right
way
now.
Way more than 6 months.
Thank you. From one piece of the call. Brilliant. Thank you, Dottie. And see the power of staying right here where we are. That was brilliant and beautiful. And now one inspired action. And this is not rushing to that other place. It's a perfect illustration of everything we've been talking about. One inspired action, Dottie. One thing that you want to do as a result of this call that has you out on the court doing things that move the needle.
Well, besides starting immediately, not immediate, tomorrow, to make the calls, I put a text in to ask everybody if I could join the game.
Oh, yeah. And so then where that gets taken up, you can send me a text about that, and then we'll be in touch with Amy about that. Okay, so that's a whole different. So there's your inspired action. Send me that text, and we'll take it from there. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. There's other venues for carrying on the conversation as needed. Bye-bye, Carly. Bye-bye, Dottie. Thank you so much for being here. Love you guys, all of you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you.